eyes on high, and behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He called them by names, and by the greatness of his power, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? Neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We worship you, the great and mighty God, the one who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand. The Bible says that Lebanon is not sufficient to burn for you. We honor you. We welcome you, Father. The greater I am, we, your saints, are gathered to worship you, to honor you, to appreciate you for your love, for your mercy that are new, and for visiting us today. We worship you. We take it, I believe God has put in my heart. And it's titled, Watchmen Upon the Walls of Salvation. Let's say that, Watchmen Upon the Walls of Salvation. Let's pray. I think I have not prayed. Heavenly Father, I come into your presence by the blood of Jesus and confess my sins. And so we cling with the blood from all our righteousness. Lord, as we go into your word once again, I strip myself of every confidence and my own knowledge, your ability to share the word. I place all of my confidence in your message to be faithful. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit to bring a word in season out of which you have been taught by the fathers of the house in the name of Jesus Christ. Help it to be concise and precise, to redeem, turn out to say things that are necessary as your word goes forth. Let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to break yokes in our lives in the name of Christ. Because needs in life to be met in the name of Christ. Help me as to speak, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of the Lord things both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Let our wills become more humble, our minds become more enlightened by revelation, and our emotions be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Come to thank you for that which you are doing in our midst. Thank you for a presence that increases in atmosphere as we go into the world now, in Jesus' name. Yeah, like I said earlier on, the title of my message is Watchmen Upon the Walls of Salvation. Let's say together, Watchmen Upon the Walls of Salvation. It was a few days ago, I was reading one of the weekly remarks, that daily remarks now, that pastor wrote about covering the sphere for influence. And God, I think, showed me this message. Let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. We'll put in the Amplified because of time. Amplified. Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. Amplified. Are we all there? Now let's go there. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his words, servants, and by your what? Prayers. Very important. Put what this is. Keep not silence. Next verse. And give him no rest until he what? Establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. Here we see the Bible says that God is the one talking through Isaiah the prophet. That I, not man, have set watchmen. The word man speaks of maturity. So in the book of 1 Corinthians 12, it said, for God has set some in the church. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophets, etc. So we have read again, say, I've set watchmen upon where? Your walls. Say your walls. Oh, Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has walls. Are you following me? So very important. Who will never hold their peace? That is their hallmark, their characteristics. Day or night, you who are what is servants, and by your what prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence. Next verse. Until, and give him no rest, until what? He establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. Until the measure, let's go, until the measure of the stature of the fullness, because you're not going to hold their peace. That's how you know the right ministry or watchmen that God has set upon the walls of Jerusalem. I put it, I say, watchmen upon the walls of salvation. You understand as we go. I said, this speaks of mature men that God has set up. Let me put it there, just to summarize. I say, this speaks of mature spiritual leadership who through their intercession provide covering for a fully submitted followership of sons who are tarrying in Jerusalem, the place of the revelation of perfection, as they pray and wait for the imminent manifestation of the glory of God in the church. You see, there is no literal war. We're not talking about the natural Jerusalem somewhere in the Middle East. But you see, these things, they speak about the body of Christ, the church. So there's no literal person standing on a particular wall now in Jerusalem that is watching, because you can't, when it's going to come, it's not a natural coming that you're going to see him. It's spiritual. So we need to understand that. So I put it there to explain, to make it clearer. I put it there. I said, what does this? This is talking about apostolic and prophetic ministries that are intercessors. They are the watchmen. Are you following me? They are the watchmen. And it is God that sets them there. And that place describes their assignments. He said they watch and they pray day and night. Why? That they, until they see Jerusalem becomes a praise upon the earth. Praise the Lord. So I put it there as you continue. I said that what they do, what is that's their primary assignment. That is what God has called them to do. I said that, look, I said through their intercession, God provides covering for those under them who are tarrying in the place of revelation and perfection. You see, as we've been taught, we confess every Sunday. We say we tarry you in Jerusalem, the place of what? The revelation of perfection. So it's not just, you know, you're not going to the Middle East. It's a spiritual place. It's a spiritual upper room where you have a company of people who understand purpose and destiny and are tarrying in that place of the revelation of the perfection of Jesus Christ until there's a manifestation of a spirit that made the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're talking about. So I put here also, I said that this intercession, he has three basic things that he does. Pastor has talking about staying under covering. You see, this mature leadership, it is through their intercession as they pray that they preserve those that are standing in Jerusalem, this upper place of perfection. So there are three basic things that this their covering does, their prayers. I put here, I say number one, it complements the spiritual nutrition and the consequent growth of those that are under them. Pastor has taught, that's what covering does. One of the things that covering does. The second thing it does is that it helps them to increase in righteousness. Let's get it. It helps them to increase in righteousness. So that you see, you that you used to find it difficult to push back certain temptations, because you're under that right covering, you find that you are able to push back temptations that come against you, which ordinarily you'll not be able to. It supplements, it adds more power, you know, to your nutrition. And then finally, what it does is that it preserves them, very important, it preserves them from premature death until they first inherit the bold anointing, and then they grow to maturity to get the full anointing of the Spirit that measure. So this is what this the intercession does. As they stand upon the walls of Jerusalem, and they begin to intercede night and day to see God's purpose to be fulfilled on the earth. That is that until Jerusalem becomes a praise on the earth. So when they begin to pray, and the walls are around Jerusalem, and Jerusalem speaks about those that are tiring, waiting for, in the place of revelation knowledge, or the perfection of Lord Christ, waiting for the manifestation of the glory of God. I follow. So their intercession forms a wall around Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So help me, Holy Spirit. So what does the walls of salvation speak about? It's very important, because in Isaiah just says that, you know, keep not that God has set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. So, and I put it here, I said that the walls of salvation, what does it speak of? It speaks of the covering over those who make the end of their faith the salvation of their souls. You see, what is their purpose? What is their destiny as a Christian? Put it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your soul. So, those walls of salvation speaks about those that have made the end of their faith the salvation of their souls. I believe you understand me. Praise the Lord. So the walls of salvation speaks of the covering over those who have made the end of their faith the salvation of their souls. Like we read in 1 Peter. Let's read together just for emphasis. It says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's why that wall now becomes a wall of salvation for those that are tarrying in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So, and like we said, we've been taught, walls in the Bible speaks of covering. in a place of protection. It's not just a, it's not a, it has literal application to wars, you know. Like you read in the book of Daniel, when there was a handwriting on the wall. But also it speaks about the covering, a hedge of protection. Let's just put the scripture behind it. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 15. Well, this was when the servants of Nabal were telling Abigail what David did unto them when he was protecting them. Say, they were what? A wall unto us, both by night and day. That is the key. Night and day. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Next verse. Now therefore, okay, let's just, that's okay. He said they were a wall unto us night by day. And you know, in the natural, you know, as if David built a physical wall around the servants of Nabal. But he's talking about protection. That's why you notice in the book of Job, when the Satan was talking to God, he said that, have you not set a hedge about him so I can't touch him and you are blessed? You see, when you're under that covering, you are protected, you are blessed. Put it on the Bible. I think it's in Job chapter 1. Yes, 1:10. Yeah. He said, have you not put a hedge about him? You see, what we are saying is this. That hedge of protection, you know, it comes from that leadership. And he acts as a covering. Okay, let's read Job. It says, Hast not thou made what? An hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side. Thou hast, within that hedge, blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You see, but what you need to know is that hedge came into being because Job was offering up sacrifices for his children night and day. So inside that hedge of protection, you have blessings and everything that is there. Are you following me? So that is what we are talking about the mercy and the grace of God. God has set some, not everybody. So he has set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem who will not rest day or night until just some people. Not everybody is set. And their hallmark is intercession. It is that intercession that provides the covering. Praise the Lord. So that is what we mean by walls. And that is what they do. They do it night and day. Praise the Lord. So I put it here just to explain further. It is God that makes the hedge through the corporate intercession of the body through the spirit of a set man. You see, it's a corporate thing, but it comes through the spirit of a set man. That's why Paul said something. He said that when you are gathered, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? So it's a corporate thing. But see, the power now comes out to the set man. He initiates it. It's like in the natural, that tap where the water comes from. So he has the ability to lock it or to open it so it can flow. Praise the Lord. So that is how it operates. So I also put it there just to emphasize. I say this wall of salvation around them is what guarantees the long life and the preservation from premature death in order to experience the total salvation of a spirit, soul, and body. You see, it is very important we note that. One of the most important things that thing does is that it shields those that have assembled themselves in that place of revelation, so they can experience that total salvation. That's why when Peter, James, and John, when they went to fish, you know, he went back to them. He said, go back there. My covering is not here where you are fishing. Go back there. It's very important. So he told them, said, go back. He wasn't angry. It's very important to know that. So that is what that thing does. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's look at that. And the very God of peace. That's 23. Okay. Let's read it anyway. It's always a good scripture to read. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we saying? That is the end of our salvation. I said it preserves them and protects them. That's why in Psalm 91, it says that with long life, will I do what? Satisfy him and show him my salvation. The reason for long life is that God might show you and I his salvation. See, there's no point living like Methuselah and not experiencing the salvation of God. You see, when you key into that, you become God, the apple of God's eye. When you came to that purpose, then God is bound under covering by his mercy and grace. I say reverentially, to preserve your life. Said, I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. God begins to protect and begins to preserve you because you have made his purpose your purpose in life. So become the apple of his eye. Praise the Lord. So that is why it is very important that he provides that protection. And I put another scripture, Isaiah 26 verse 1. Is as you stay there under that covering, those walls, you know, in the book of Isaiah, it just says walls around Jerusalem. Now become, you see, there's a saying in that day, shall those walls become a world of salvation. Let's say, in that day, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have what a strong city, Zion. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So we are in that day, God has not appointed is that covering. That's that wall of protection is not a wall of salvation. And that protects the people that are tarrying in the upper room of revelation knowledge of perfection. Praise the Lord. So that is what God is doing presently. And I also put it there, talking about Jerusalem. I already said that Jerusalem speaks about those that are tarrying, waiting for the manifestation of the glory of God. That is where your protection is. It's a spiritual upper room where we all tarry in Jerusalem. It is not just this local, it's not a local assembly. No, it's a place whereby you are waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the glory of God in unity, and you are watching and praying always. So I thought, a church without walls. So I, as I was meditating, God brought to my remember some things, and I will share them, I'll give an example in scripture of those, or a particular guy that left Jerusalem. After God said, go and wait there. Shimei. Open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. You know, the judgment had been decreed over Shimei. But God gave him the way of escape. So when Solomon became king, he said, Shimei, you know, after he won, he said, okay, make sure you don't leave Jerusalem more. He said, make sure. He said, the day you leave Jerusalem, that your blood will be upon your head. Let's read. Say, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build the what? An house in Jerusalem, not anywhere else. And dwell there and go not from thence anywhere. Next verse. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, and thy blood shall be upon thy head. You see, we are not saying this to make people afraid. But what I'm trying to say by the help of the Holy Spirit is this. There's a place in this day called there, like Pastor Kule was preaching so beautifully this morning, that God has promised to keep you from the hour of temptation. There is this hour of temptation that God is keeping his people from. So you have to be in a place where you have the revelation knowledge of God's purposes, which is the perfection of Jesus Christ, and then you stay there. You don't live there to go and fish or look for a donkey. You know the end of this guy. He left that place and that was the end of it. I follow him. So it's not staying in the battle. It's not staying in Lagos. It's a place in your heart in which you have that revelation knowledge, and you are working out your salvation with fear and trembling under what? Those watchmen that are walking upon the walls of salvation. It's a spiritual place. So understand what we are saying. That is, you make God's purpose your purpose. You know, if you read the Bible properly, the book of Luke, it says something. It says that God does not waste resources. He said there was a tree in the vineyard. He said this is the third year. He said it has not brought forth any fruit. He said, let's cut it down. Why couldn't bear it down? And the vine dresser said, no, God, please wait. Just another year. Let's dung it again and see what will bring forth fruit. Use different types and shadows to explain. So you can't waste time and just do everything you want to, like see the body of Christ today. People don't understand purpose and destiny. And they are wandering around in the wilderness. And God already said, all you guys, for the next 40 years, you're not entering promised land. I get in my train of thought. Why? Because they did not make going to the promised land their purpose. So I have to find a division in the camp. Some people say, let's go back to Egypt. Moses said, no, this is where we're going to. So God said, okay. He said, I swear in my wrath, they will never enter into my rest. Like a pastor was sharing this morning. God had already sworn. When I say swear, not as if he picks on people. No. It is the decisions you make that determine where you are going to fall. So now, okay, God has said this one, you go. This one, no. He has set an open door to go straight to the promised land through Moses. So when you now align with that, and you don't say, I'm going back with rebellious, who refuse to go to the promised land, then you move on. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So that is very, very important. So Shimei, you know what he did? He left. But what I want to bring out from that is not really Shimei, but the place of safety for Shimei was that place called there, Jerusalem. The other scripture again that God puts, but just to use types and shadows to explain, is when there was an angel that was slaying people in Israel after David counted the people. When he got to Jerusalem, he stopped. That's my Bible, the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. Help me, speak. 2 Samuel chapter 16. If you find the verse, let me put it there. Okay, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 21 verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 21 verse 5. Just to explain this. Talking about the threshing floor of Onan. No. Don't put this. Just put it where I said you should put it, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 21 verse 5. What does it say? Where it says that, okay, it says, and Joab gave some of you, and that you, so, okay, Judah was for. No. Just put it where he was talking about the angels standing over Jerusalem. After a destruction had gone all over the land, when he got to Jerusalem, he stopped. That was where David, that prophet, God told David, he said, go and offer up a sacrifice right there. But see, this thing took place in the threshing floor of Arauna. I think his first Chronicles calls it Onan. Are we there? So, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan. I want to check the name of Onan. Onan means rejoicing. Jerusalem is where mercy rejoices over judgment. I mean, put in the counterpart as Onan in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Chapter 16. He calls him Arauna in 16. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let me just put it there. Just to, he said that when the angel stood over Jerusalem, and he wanted to begin to destroy people, he said, God said, stop! This is Jerusalem. This is where I have my people that have aligned their purpose with my purpose. So don't destroy them. I'm trying to use this as an example. So that is where mercy rejoices over judgment. Once you are there, you may not understand everything, but you are in that place of revelation of the perfection of fullness, who are just starting there, waiting for the manifestation of the glory. God says, okay, yes, this one on some purpose, I will add more life to him, I will preserve him. So you don't wander from there. Again, I repeat myself, it's not a physical place. It's something that's in the heart. A revelation that you have in your heart. Like we confess, the place of revelation of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So that's where you are tiring. Because that is the purpose of God for his church. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to stay in Jerusalem. That place of revelation of perfection of Lord Christ. I keep saying it. So we don't think naturally. Now, why is this message very important? It's very, very simple. Talking about this watchman that God has set upon the walls of salvation. I put the point number one. I say, they see the Lord is coming in perfection and fullness. And they also see the present state of the church that is not ready. You see, those that are on the watch, those that are standing on the wall of a place, they can see before you that it's inside Jerusalem can see. Because the walls surround and must be higher than Jerusalem itself. So they can see afar off. So they look down, they see the body of Christ that is not ready. Then they look ahead and they see the master coming. They see two things at the same time. So when they see that, that is what drives them to prayer. Say they will not hold their peace night and day until what they see in Jerusalem changes what they see in the heavenlies. And it's only through intercession. So I put it here, I say, this is what drives them to pray day and night. It is not how to get a visa. I'm not saying it's wrong to get a visa. It is not all these funny things that people call camp meeting for. It is until this Jerusalem becomes a praise on there. So they see the church and they see what God expects. I said, that's like Mordecai. when he heard the decree to destroy the Jews, Bible said he cried with a loud voice. And he put on sackcloth and ashes. And he sent a message to Esther. We have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Simply put, they pray without ceasing. Let's say together, they pray without ceasing. So let's look at the scriptures to explain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. 3:10. Are we there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. Let's get that. Night and day, look at Paul, night and day, praying what? Exceedingly that what? We might see your faith and what? Say perfect. That which is lacking in your faith. There's some that is lacking in the faith of Christians today. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. We are yet to see the glory. But it's going to see, take night and praying day of this exceedingly, of this watchmen upon the walls of salvation. Praise the Lord. So, what is the current state of the church? Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15. Are we there? Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15. Please help me and hurry up. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15. Let me try and look for it in my Bible. Well, it's talking about the walls of Jerusalem. Help me, Holy Spirit. I think it's a point of possibility. It was talking about the condition of Jerusalem. You know, after this guy. Okay, we're there now. See? All that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? The joy of the old earth? That is what the world is saying about the church today. Where is your God? He said, is this the city? People are like, come on, show. But you don't even know how to. If you need money, why don't you just go to the bank and use gimmicks to get money? I'm just trying so you can paint a picture of what is the present state of the church today. But you see, the good thing is that God has said about these watchmen. They can see the situation, but they can see something higher that God wants to do, which is to make Jerusalem a praise upon the earth. Like the same book of Psalm 48, verse 2. He said, great is the Lord, and great is the Lord. Put him out down and say, is Mount Zion the city of living God, the beauty of the old earth. It's a beautiful situation. The joy of the old earth is what? Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. That is what we are going to become. Even though we are changing now from lamentations to this. That is our purpose as a Christian. That is why God has set those watchmen. It's some, they are not many. And their hallmark is intercession. But in a cocoon now. It's very important. That's why I say Ephesians 5 says that he may cleanse and by the removing of what? The water by the word. I find he's presenting to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Put it in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27 just to illustrate a point. That is our end as the body of Christ. But I should be holy without blemish. Let's look at that. That he might what? Present it to himself a what? Glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But I should be holy. Say holy. Holy. That is the issue today. With holy and without blemish. That is what God is going to present to himself. And like Pastor Kunle rightly said, I've been quoting, if you joined Good Morning Jesus Prayer, holiness has now become something every day. As holiness becomes the house of the Lord. You know why? Like he quoted earlier on, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. He says that having therefore this promise, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. It is those promises that you use, the blood, the word, and the spirit, to cleanse out the filthiness from your soul. That spirit there talks about the soul, not your spirit man. Your spirit man has no sin nature. But the soul and the body, as you now use those things, you now cleanses that you cannot, that bride, that beautiful bride, that glorious church can imagine. But there's a problem here on the earth today. The Bible talks about the generation of Christians whose eyes are lofty and whose eyes are not washed from their filthiness. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There's a generation, there are two generations. There's a generation that Bible talks about in the book of Psalms 46, or no, not 46. I think it's 42. So, it says that those are the generation that seek your face, O Jacob. But there's another generation on the earth today. Say there is a generation that what are pure in their own eyes, their mind, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That is what is going on in the body of Christ today. They are pure. That is said in Revelation. Say, we are pure, we have no need of nothing. He said, you are miserable and you are wretched. Say, get eyes up to Laodicean church. But God is doing something about that generation. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. That is what the Lord is doing. And the second point I have here is this, this watchman. I've mentioned that they see what is coming, drives them to prayer, so that beautiful bride can emerge. So the second thing they do is this, they also warn the church of the sword that is coming. Let's say they also warn the church of the sword that is coming. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. There is a sword coming on. We cannot hide from it and pretend. Because God warned Ezekiel. He said, if I send you to somebody and you don't warn them and something happens to them, your blood will require in your hand. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. Are we there? Say, son of man, I have made you a watchman. So you see, there are prophets and apostles that are standing on the wall. Unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. But pastor says, a warning is not a cause. It's so that I can change from Lamentations to Ephesians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 3. Help me, Holy Spirit. 33:3. Okay, let's just move on. So God was telling Ezekiel, I quoted, he said that if I send you to them and you don't want them, their blood would I require in your hand. He said, if when is yet the sword coming, come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people. So they are the ones that have the trumpet. The trumpets have the prophetic voice. When they see what is coming, they take that trumpet and they begin to blow an alarm. Which is what is going on this present. They say, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. When you two join with them, when you start praying, that's how Paul likens in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When talking about tongues, he said, if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound. So when you are praying in tongues, are you following me? That is the prophetic voice. I'm not saying you're a prophet. That is, you are joining with those that God has said. Because you see, when they declare what is coming, you start praying. That means you have already joined forces with them to see that purpose fulfilled on the earth. Praise the Lord. So, when I was meditating and preparing, I said a sword. The pastor has mentioned over and over, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. He said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. You see, God, I want to say it as so I can all receive it. It's not because God is evil. But see, God has to change the leadership. He has to. You see, it's like if you're going to LA, LA towards that place, I believe, and the best word is the destination to LA, LA there. If you don't know where you're going to, that is the end. LA is supposed to be your end. I now board a taxi going to Dubai. You never get to that end. Are you following me? So you see, God has to do one thing. If you don't, God has to remove, or if the driver is supposed to go to LA, LA turns midway and begins to go to Dubai. Are you following me? What will God is going to remove that driver? But look, your destination is supposed to be this way, not that way. That's what happened in the wilderness. When this guy said, no, you take too much upon yourself, Moses. Everybody can hear from God. We are going back to Egypt. So God has to remove them. Say, remove them. That is palatable enough. Remove them. And their works will live after them. Is that okay? Yeah. So God has to do that. You know, because if he does not do that, we are not going to get where God says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and his sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Next verse. Next verse. And I will do what? Bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. link it with Malachi. I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call upon in my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So that is what God wants to bring. He wants to bring forth a perfect church under a perfect leadership. Praise the Lord. So I, in my meditations, why does God want to do this? I've already mentioned it. As I was thinking about this, because there are two ministries that are operating in the world, not just in Nigeria. You have this right leadership declaring the old counsel of God, this watchman. You have these people that have set up feasts that are similar to the feast of the Lord, the feast of Jeroboam. Let's open 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 32. I'll just mention because of time. You see, the issue about Jeroboam is this. He set up a feast very close to the seventh month. In the eighth month. Are you following me? Why will he do something so close to the seventh month? Because the seventh month is the final feast of Israel. This is about the feast of tabernacles. So he did something so close to it to deceive the people. You see, the end of our faith is sufficient. This we're talking about the feast of ingathering. Are you following me? So he set up a feast similar to it. You see, he did not set up a feast in the first month. No problem in Passover, get born again. He did not set up a feast for Pentecost. It's okay. But that one that will bring about the final purpose of God, he did something similar to it. That's what happens when you don't preach about the first coming in us and you delay it by 1 month. Seventh has to happen before you get to eight. So if seven does not take place, you can't get to eight. So if someone tells you that the seventh one is not going to happen, it's the eighth month, it makes you just take life easy. That when you claim that people's purposes are to die and go to heaven, you shift the purpose. If they move your timetable, is it backward or forwards now? Maybe from today to tomorrow. You know, there's a tendency to relax. Sometimes, Shiva. That is what happened. But you hear messages that tell people that, look, all you have to do is, after your matriculation, you are okay. Yeah, people say, that's what people say, once born again, always born again. It is not like that, though. The second that Jeroboam did in his feast is this, which is how I was coming, I started thinking about it. Everything that takes place in the nation, in any nation, usually not all the time, flows out from the church. You have leaders that are not qualified. Dancing around the whole place. They are not qualified. So that is what Jeroboam did. In book of 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 33. Everybody that wanted to become a priest, he just ordained them. Jeroboam. It's a feast going on. I follow him. So Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month. And on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. He's talking about tabernacle. So they made it so close. If you're not designing, you will not even know the difference. Open to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 33. 13:33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, and but made again of the rest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever will be consecrated. Him he became one, he became one of the priests of the high priests. Too many high priests over the nation today. So once you have a high priest, you must have a priest. Once you have a high priest, you must have a priest. So you can now know what is happening in the nation. People that don't qualify ruling the nation. Are you following my thinking? All over the land, everywhere. Local government, everywhere. They're not qualified. We have great brains in that. People that are intelligent. But you see, it takes its root from the church. So you can already see it in the lives of the people. Praise the Lord. So, that is what is going on. And God is doing something about it. Praise the Lord. Now, I also put it there. The last thing that God has raised them up to do is very simple. That they also, through their intercession, with those following them, are raising up an end-time army of sons unto God in every nation that will preach the gospel of the kingdom with the spirit of that measure to every ethnos. The thought that God has raised up this leadership to do is raise up an army of sons. Through intercession, Paul said, my literature of my travailing bath until Christ be formed. So you can only do, see, what I want us to go away with is, it is the intercession that marks them out, night and day, towards the purpose of seeing Jerusalem becoming a prison on the earth. So you see, that's what they do. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 7. That's the third thing they are doing. This watchman upon the walls of salvation. 37, verse 7. It says, so I prophesied, that was Ezekiel, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was what? A noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. So somewhere later on, he said, this is the old army of the house of Israel. So the third thing they are doing through their intercession is that they begin to pray with the company of those that are under them. And from bone begins to join to his bone, the entire nation of the world. And the God will breathe on that, the bones. Then this mighty army will emerge from nowhere all of a sudden. So three things, I repeat again, that they do. The first thing is this, they see God's purpose. They see the state of the church. So it drives them to begin to pray. Night and day. Say night and day. So when they see that, the second thing that they begin to do when they see that, is that they now begin to warn the church of what is coming. A warning is not a cause. That is, I can see what is going to happen. So you guys, you better get your hacks together. The final thing they do, or one of the things they do, is they overlap. It's not as if they do this for then this one comes. No. But doing those things at the same time, they begin to pray. So I begin to pray, like the master prayed. They begin to raise this army. They begin to raise the army of intercessors over the nations of the world. Preparing God's end time army that will go toward the end of the world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the end of the world, and then the end shall come. So those are these basic three things that they do. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we recognize them? I've already mentioned it in passing. The first thing, there are two things, or let me say, three things that I want you to know. Particularly mentioned the fruit of love. Say the fruit of love. See, they've matured in love. They say a bruised reed, they will not break. A flaming flax, they will not quench. So they matured. But just like I said, by their fruits, you shall know them. The second thing that you need to know about them is this aspect of praying night and day. Say praying night and day. I put it here, I say, they are purpose-driven prayers night and day. You see, people have a lot of all night, whatever vigil they have. But it's not for purpose, not for destiny. It's man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based. So for these ones, they are focused. And the best example I can give you is Anna and Simeon in the Bible. That God raised up. They were watchmen upon the walls of salvation. That's why he said that, now my eyes have seen their salvation. Let them have thy servant depart in peace. Anna too was fasting and praying night and day. Simeon the same, until they saw the consolation of Israel. So that is the assignment God has given them. And that is what they are doing. And then finally, you also note them by the fruit of good treasure. Three things. The first thing is the fruit of love. If you don't get that, you will discover that they are praying night and day. You see, if they have a banner, it's going to come for honor prayer meeting, so I become more humble. I have what I'm trying to say. You don't see banners that are all the superfluous ones that, okay, this one come, you get a visa. It's not wrong to get those things, please. But that is not you should not make it the primary focus of your prayer. Because if you get Jerusalem to become a prison, all that things will follow automatically. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 28. He says that all nations say they will fear you. They say they will bring their world in Isaiah 16. So that is how you know them. They watch and pray night and day, purpose-driven prayers. And then finally, the fruit of good treasure. You see, when they begin to share, they can take, you in this simple loss, you can take 5 loaves and 2 fish, the word of God, to feed 5,000. That's how you know. Something you've read over and over, just take a simple verse and they break it down and everybody will go home, and then you still have 12 baskets left over. That's the fruit of good treasure. They bring out gems from the Bible. Gems that will take you from where you are to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. That's how you know them. That's their hallmark. The fruit of love, character, the perfect love of God in their lives. Secondly, they watch and pray night and day. And then finally, the fruit of good treasure. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. You don't need to turn there. It says, a good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the good treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. So when you listen to somebody And he wants to know whether he's a watchman upon the walls of salvation, or he's just a watchman over his own property, trying to make ends meet. What you listen to is, look at that fruit of love. If that fruit is not there, then you listen to the message. What is the end of this message? Is it a Jeroboam ministry? You listen to that end. Are you following? Is it a job? So that if you look at it, because if you observe, like I said, you see, Passover, nobody has a problem with that in the body of Christ. Is it to get born again? Yeah, Pentecost, nobody talks about that. But when it comes to the seventh feast, once they shift that seventh feast to the eighth month, then there's a problem. That's talking about tabernacles. That's how you know. And then finally, you now listen to the fruit of good treasure. What is the end of what he's talking about? Is it Christ? Is it Christ-centered or man-centered? That's how you know them. Praise the Lord. Then the second thing we do is to submit to them by taking it to their warnings and obeying their instructions to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. So you too, you start practicing those things. You start praying, let's say, fervently and more frequently. That's how you get into Jerusalem. And that's how you stay there. It's because without prayer, you can't stay in that upper room. That's it, guys. Without prayer, watching and praying always, you can't stay in that upper room. Because your flesh will move you. You see those that are outside that seem to be making money. Then something moves you, the flesh. So it's that watching and praying always that keeps the body under. And that keeps that fire burning before you. So you can keep on maintaining that revelation and you can begin to see. So you stay there until the glory manifests. Praise the Lord. You start practicing those things. Praying fervently and frequently to hasten his command. Then finally, Bible says that you count them worthy of double honor that labor in the word. That is the final thing we do. But see, the most important thing that you need to know, that is the last point. We have to mention it, but we don't overemphasize it. Firstly, the fruit of love in their lives. Secondly, they pray night and day, purpose giving prayers to see the body of Christ come into its fullness until Jerusalem becomes a praise on the earth. And then finally, under that second point, you to start practicing those teachings by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to pray, to flush out the sin nature from your soul and your body, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then when you start doing that, as you are doing that, then finally, you now honor them with your tithes and your offerings. As you count them worthy of double honor that labor in the world. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. So I've set watchmen upon your walls. They should not give rest to the Lord night and day until Jerusalem becomes a priest on the earth. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we pray corporately. And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb, watching and praying for Jesus' return, preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready. And we now drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is the light. We hear you say you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bride say come. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day of his return. The very time. The very time. The very time of his appearing. Raise your voice. Sound the alarm. Let his bride take white garments. One out on our hearts and raise the other one to heaven and pray. And say, Father, we confess our sins and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you have set watchmen upon the walls of salvation, even apostolic and prophetic fathers who are intercessors, watching and praying day and night, till you make Zion a praise upon the earth. I therefore obey and submit to them as I tarry in Jerusalem, a place of revelation of perfection under their covering, that I too may partake of the bold anointing of a spirit without measure under them, and also the fullness as I grow to become a son in Jesus' name. Yes, now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love. Thank you for covering. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are coming soon. I'm the Spirit and the bride.
Praise the Lord. So grateful. We want to thank you for this blessed assembly. And the fathers you have put over us, Pastor and Mommy, thank you for fathers that know the times and seasons of what Israel ought to do. And not only that, they're leading themselves by example. So that, Lord, as we follow on, we will also come to know you more as they know you, Lord God. We're so grateful, Lord God. We want to thank you for their covering, Lord. The power of the Spirit has been present here today. Thank you, Lord God, for causing this place to be a tabernacle to meet with you. So we say, Lord, under their covering, we come in order. Under their covering and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, so the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath, so we prosper in all that we set our hands to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, the fullness of even the perfection and the fullness of Christ and the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us also under the covering of our fathers. He anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tarry never this. Say, you tarry in Jerusalem under the covering of spiritual fathers until you are endowed with the power of the Spirit without measure from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Hallelujah.